Mini episode 632 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by that NBA lottery pick, your pop culture influenced look at the world of hoops. Follow them on the web at that NBALotteryPick.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the FDH Lounge. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross here. We are talking NFL at midseason, specifically the AFC. So we have gotten together in person to break this down at Kyle's behest. He's got some good thoughts on all of this, and I hope I was welcome. As well, yeah.
When you say at Kyle's behest, does that mean Kyle selfishly invited himself over my house? Is that what you're trying to say?
You were always welcome at Casa de Riccio.
Okay, it's been a tough week. I mean, I could have stayed at home. We could have done this over the phone, man.
No, we couldn't have really done this one or the NFC probably over the phone.
I am verbose. Time limits. I am verbose.
Well, you know, these things, we got to let these ones breathe a little bit here. So I know you got a lot of points that you want to get to on this. I have a macro point about the NFL, an observation that I've made. I don't know if this is the time to jump in with it, but I wanted to see what you thought about this. And I ran this past FDH Director of Research, Nate Noy, and he kind of agreed with me. And this is just sort of one of these intuitive sort of things looking at the league this year. If you assume, and this is something I picked up a long time ago
by the way,
job.
I may interrupt.
Yes.
I'm going to eat combos liberally during this. I just got really hungry.
Well, liberally, progressively, however you are want to do, Kyle Ross.
This one's for you, Bernie.
Your combos, feel the burn. That's a new ad slogan. So this is a theory, and something I picked up from a day job long ago here. The notion of, use the number 100 as a baseline. So for these purposes, in a typical year in the NFL, talent pool is at a 100. That's our baseline, and that means
replacement level, if you will, as they call it.
I guess, but I mean, just looking league-wide at the amount of talent that is there, and that's taking into effect everybody from Aaron Rodgers on down, where are they at in this stage of their career? Who is healthy, who is not healthy, etc. Now, first of all, I think you would agree with me, generally speaking, the variance is going to be more like 97 to 103. We don't go from like 48 to 162, right? The NFL, it's like the economy. It's a an ocean liner that steers slowly, right? There's never dramatic jumps. We don't go from 100 one year down to 75 the next year as far as the talent level of the league up to 153.
No.
It's 97 to 103 more or less. Let's use that as a guide here. I think this is a 97 or 98 year. I think the league is down a little bit in terms of general talent. And one of the things that makes me think this is, I look at the teams that are undefeated. And, you know, for as much as you like to goof on Cincinnati still, they're a pretty complete team when you look at what they're doing on the field.
Hold on. I don't goof on Cincinnati. I simply don't buy into the narrative of this is a new Bengals team.
All right. Well, my point isn't specifically about Cincinnati, but like I look at New England. Their secondary is still not very good. I look at Carolina. How are they doing it offensively? I mean, I look at the undefeated teams. I mean, the closest one to a juggernaut right now, if you look at what they did to Green Bay, might be Denver, because their defense is locked down. Their offense.
Be careful about overreacting one week.
I'm not going to overreact.
Because everyone was saying they were the weakest one after six games.
Yeah, but they probably have the strongest unit in the league defensively or offensively.
Yes, I would agree with that. There's actually been a lot of debate in some circles this week, in circles that I like to hang out in.
Okay.
Imaginary circles online, really. About, you know, what is the strongest unit right now in the NFL? Is it New England's offense? Is it Denver's defense? And the general consensus seems to be Denver's defense.
Well, after last week, I don't think Green Bay's offense is in that discussion.
No, it certainly ain't Green Bay's offense.
No, it's not. But so my sense is this is just a year, and again, you got to – not that, you know, a Jordy Nelson being injured makes that big of a difference. I mean, we can joke about my whole tipping point thing from before the season here, but I mean, we've continued to get a lot of injuries as the year has gone along. And the Dallas Cowboys with sub-level replacement play at quarterback versus Tony Romo. The time that the Squealers had to go without Roethlisberger. You know what I mean? Do you generally agree with me that this is a year that is below the norm in terms of league-wide talent? It's a down year.
I'm going to take this in two directions.
Okay.
Neither of them are a yes or no answer, so okay. Be prepared. It is odd that in an era where everyone is supposed to be so congested to the middle.
Yeah.
That we have so many unbeaten teams.
Polarization.
And we... There aren't any historically bad teams at the other end. I mean, there's bad teams in this league. Don't get
right.
me wrong. I mean, the 49ers stink. The Lions aren't very good.
Yep.
The Browns perpetually are awful. Jaguars.
But you're right. None of them are historically bad.
So that is odd. I am mm-hmm. fascinated. And, you know, I don't think that, you know, even though we have, what, four undefeated teams left, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Four.
Yeah.
The New England, Denver, Cincy, and Carolina. None of them are historically great teams by any stretch of the imagination. And we'll talk about some of them. This is going to work great.
Okay.
As we build into the AFC. New England is not as good as the 07 team.
Right.
Carolina is just a weak 7-0 team, period. Cincinnati, again, I reject the notion that this is a new Bengals team. I think that this was a team that just dropped off last year, and it was just a one-year drop. And I think Hugh Jackson, we'll talk about this again momentarily, has proven himself to be maybe a slightly more innovative offensive coordinator than Jay Gruden was.
Okay.
Denver, while the defense is great and has Peyton Manning,
mm-hmm.
what is having Peyton Manning really mean in 2015? Not what it used to. So, I don't know. You're on to something, and mm-hmm. I'm going to take it a little more specific. This is my second part of the answer.
Okay.
Here. And this is something that a lot of people much smarter than I have raised in the last 2 weeks or so.
Okay.
And I think maybe while you're searching for your answer,
mm-hmm.
this is it. Quarterback play in this league is absolutely 100% on the decline.
That right there could be enough to put it to what I'm talking about.
And I'm going to tell you what, it's not just this league, it's this mm-hmm. sport.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you watch college football.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you're, you know, doing, you know, you're spelling out, you know, our state every Saturday, which is just so impressive.
Yeah.
I can assure you. But, I mean, so this is a rhetorical question, what I'm about to ask you. Have you watched college football?
Yep.
The quarterback play at that level is awful this year. You know, I know that you're probably one of these SEC haters. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, I believe that they have, on balance, most years the best football in the country.
Okay,
I may resent a lot of programs, but it doesn't mean that I deny their greatness.
Okay, well, that's great. So I respect that take.
Okay.
Good take. Give yourself a Buckeye in that helmet, buddy. But anyway, I bring this up not just to jab at people who may not like the SEC, but or SEC fans, I guess, for that matter, because they're the ones who are going to get mad at this take. But I remember preseason flipping through my Phil Steele mag at the SEC, and something just hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, where are the good quarterbacks in this league? And it's played out. Like, do you remember preseason? The good one was supposed to be the kid from Auburn, and he's awful. He doesn't even start anymore.
Yeah, well, Dak Prescott.
Yeah, but Mississippi State's not, which is ironic because Mississippi State is probably the weakest team in the West.
Right.
Save for Auburn, maybe. But
Brad Bielema says hi.
They've been a little unlucky, I think, more than bad.
Unlucky teams don't lose to Toledo at home.
Well, you know, it was technically in Little Rock. Off campus.
Oh!
And, you know, crazy things have happened in Little Rock through the years.
Same week he jabbed at Urban Meyer's schedule. How about that?
It was not a good look for Brett.
Right.
Doesn't really have a good look, period, but I digress. Anyway.
Yeah.
And living here in Cleveland, with my quarterback thing, I'm just rambling incoherently here, but there, God bless it, there's a good point here. You know, there's this tendency to look, whether it was Winston and Mariota this year at the top of the draft, or, you know, I don't know who's going to be, Jared Goff and Connor Cook next year.
Preston Lynch, I think.
Yeah, Paxton
Lynch. Paxton Lynch, yeah.
As these great saviors. I got to tell you something, man. If you think you're going to draft those guys and your team is going to be the bee's knees right after, you're going to be sadly mistaken.
Yeah.
The way that the college with the spread.
Right.
And, I mean, specifically look at the Big 12, which is everyone basically with the spread, right?
Right. Never draft a Big 12 quarterback.
No,
ever.
I would say, name one of those quarterbacks that has had any kind of sustained success in the NFL recently.
Nobody really has. And the thing of it is, too, with the spread thing, I'm glad you brought that up because I think it's systemic in that, yeah, the pros are now running more spread stuff, too. There's been a little more convergence, but it's a thing where...
Which there needs to be. I mean, you can't... You need to adapt to who you have.
True. But the thing of it is that the NFL is not getting guys that are coming in that are pro-ready as perhaps they were even 5 years ago, 10 years ago, because there's so much spread stuff that's happening in college.
It's different quarterbacks. And
yeah.
Some of it is old guard possibly resisting change. I don't know what the answer is, but all I know is that when you look at, and I've told you this off air before, because remember I even texted you, is this about quarterbacks when you said your macro level?
Yeah.
Because to me, that's like a big thing right now. I mean, there's a reason that New England always makes the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Peyton Manning teams, whether it was Indianapolis or now Denver, makes the playoffs. You know, the Colts now with Andrew Luck, even though as hideously flawed as that roster is, they're probably still going to win that division.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you don't have a solid quarterback right now in this league, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
And another thing is you can't just be giving up on these guys quick.
Right.
I mean, if you look like, so Andy Dalton is a perfect example as we talk about Cincinnati, mm-hmm. okay? Or as we get set to. Is he awesome? Not really. But he has made the playoffs every year.
Mm-hmm.
He is capable of playing well.
Mm-hmm.
He's still only in, what, his fifth year? That's relatively young. And who else are you going to get better? It's not like, you know, when Aaron Rodgers becomes a free agent that you're going to outbid Green Bay for his services.
But what you're saying about him, and I think that's indicative in my mind of the progression he's made, couldn't you say the same thing about Eli Manning and Joe Flacco, who have three Super Bowl rings between them? He's maybe gotten to their level of being, okay, you know, he's not a megastar and he never will be, but can he be a quarterback you win a Super Bowl with? I believe me, I am... Nobody has made more fun of Andy Dalton than I have, and I'll even invoke the joke from you got to start watching this. That great sitcom, The League, they have a joke on there about the Andy Defamation League. I used to be a member of the Andy Defamation League.
Fine. The thing is, people just want to turn on quarterbacks, so if they're not awesome. And, you know, I mean, Andrew Luck is such an unfair barometer to judge anyone by. And, by the way, he's struggling this year. He's playing the worst he's ever played in the pros. But he is a generational talent. You know, John Elway, generational talent.
Right.
But when you look at some of these other guys, you know, Peyton Manning, generational talent.
Yep.
But a lot of these other guys, you didn't know. And part of its development, part of its coming to the right situation. I mean, I could point to, well, look at the great quarterbacks in this league. You just don't know. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady.
Right.
You know me. I'm a Michigan fan.
Yeah.
He did, and I've said this before on this program, when he left Ann Arbor, he was playing the best football of his career there.
Okay.
As fourth year. I mean, he had an incredible Orange Bowl against Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
If you would have asked me, oh, do you think this guy is going to be one of the great NFL starting quarterbacks? Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing to indicate, really, that he would be.
Right.
Drew Brees, I've made this point recently, and some of my buddies that I've been watching the games with have scoffed at it. I don't think Drew Brees is a Hall of Famer if he doesn't go to New Orleans and Sean Payton isn't the head coach.
You're probably right.
That is
sliding
a perfect
doors theory of
people
history.
People are like, oh, I kind of liked him in San Diego.
He wasn't the same guy. That's why they traded him.
Yeah, no, he was okay. They had every reason to jettison him in favor of Phillip Rivers.
Right.
Russell Wilson. Okay. Maybe he was drafted too late, and because of his, you know, physical dimensions, you know, that shows some flaws in the drafting process. But you didn't know he would have won a Super Bowl already at this point. Well, he went to a perfect situation.
Yeah, and the physical dimensions, for as much as everybody wants to play 20-20 hindsight, when him and Drew Brees are the only short guys in the history of the modern game to light it up this way, you know, there's a reason to adhere to these height guidelines, because you look at a midget like Johnny Clipboard, who can't see over the line and whatever, that's a real thing. That's not a made-up thing. Like, quarterbacks need to be so tall. No, there's a reason
generally
do.
Yes.
So Russell Wilson, he was going up against a very real impediment. So this 2020 hindsight crap, I've got a good friend. I'm not going to embarrass him by naming him here, but he's like, I knew he was going to. I'm like, you did not.
No, you don't. The thing is, you generally don't know. Other than, I'm telling you, other than like the Elway, Mannings, Lucks of the world, there's some others I'm sure that I'm forgetting. There's no one that's a surefire thing. at that position.
What?
But the problem is twofold. One, people are so desperate for a quarterback, they just overdraft. Mm-hmm. And two, they just suck at developing them.
Well, you know what it reminds me of, too, for anybody who says they called it with Russell Wilson?
Oh, wow.
There's this saying about, and I'm going to go very far afield here, but this saying in economics about economists have predicted 20 of the last 5 recessions. If you thought Russell Wilson was going to be a good quarterback, you probably also have 5 or 10 other takes that you aren't telling me about these crumb bums that never amounted to anything that you were touting. I'm gonna go out there and say that.
There's no reason to get angry about it.
I'm just.
I hear you. No, you're right. I mean, he.
Yeah.
But my point is, he's an exception to the rule.
He is.
And you don't know.
That's
you
right.
You didn't know that Tom Brady was going to be one of the greats of all time. Joe Montana. I mean, if you want to go back, I mean, you know, go Chris Berman style and just go back in time. You didn't know. I mean, he was, what, a third-round draft pick, I think he was?
Oh, yeah. You know, so, you and I are students of the odds, basically, in our own ways. So if you tell either one of us that somebody is cut from different kind of cloth and it's a leap of faith, I don't think either one of us is going to be quick to believe in somebody.
Let's bring this around before we get too far off the beaten path.
Yeah.
Yes, the problem is, right now in this league, it is a very real problem that half of the teams are starting replacement level or worse quarterbacks. And that is a major issue because it is the most important position.
One more thing in terms of drafting or player development, too. Arguably the worst draft in the history of the league, 2009. That's like an entire year of players that vaporized.
Yeah, except J.J. Watt, right? That was the J.J. Watt.
No, he was 2011.
Oh, okay.
2011, I think, was another fairly bad year, but 2009 is the historically
bad one.
I always
get like one of those ads
right.
like on the bottom of my screen. So
uh-huh.
Repicking the horrible something or other draft, and I
right.
showed a picture of J.J.
Well,
Watt,
and I looked up 09 today just because I wanted to see how bad it was. My theory is those are guys that should be in their 6th and 7th years. We have like an entire draft class that should be in its prime that, for all intents and purposes, never existed.
I mean,
so
here's a perfect example.
Play a small role in this, too.
Holy God almighty.
What are you looking at?
The 2009 draft. So
it's bad, buddy.
Okay, so here's the thing. So Matt Stafford was picked number one.
Yeah.
And he's, like, okay.
Yeah.
He's been dealt some bad hands, especially early in his career, and has never really had a great coach.
Oh, he should have 5 Hall of Fame rings compared to the rest of that class.
But I'm just saying.
They're awful.
No, I mean, here's a perfect example. Of Mark Sanchez went number 5. Oh, boy.
Aaron Curry, I believe, was a high pick in that class.
Yes. Jason Jones hates him, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Okay. There was another quarterback in here I just saw. Josh Freeman, currently, I believe, unemployed.
Yes.
So, yeah, again, I mean, it speaks to the point that these guys are washing out quickly. So, yes, to your point,
mm-hmm.
your macro point, we've gone all over the map there with this. If you want me to nail something specific about why that's an issue,
mm-hmm.
it's quarterback play.
Okay.
I don't think, as a matter of fact, I know there aren't 20 above replacement level quarterbacks in this league.
Probably right not.
And there are 32
point.
Teams, which
probably
is an issue.
Probably not.
One team that you want to start on the AFC?
Sure, yeah.
Shall we not?
Yeah.
I'm going to take the reins here. So one team that does not have an issue in quarterback or coach, for that matter, would be the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
Unbeaten, one of the 4 unbeatens, and 3 of them reside in the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with me that in each instance the division race is over?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm the guy that said the North race was over a month ago. So
you did, and my hat's off to you because mm-hmm. the team that I thought had the potential to catch the Bengals ain't catching the Bengals.
No.
Any
this
longer.
Just in.
So I mean, not only do these teams, I believe, all have at least 3-game leads in the loss column. Am
mm-hmm.
I correct there? You know, let's do my
usual
professional job of checking on air while I just babble incoherently.
I believe you're right about that.
Yes, New England, a 3-game lead on the Jets. And, oh, by the way, they've beaten the Jets.
Right.
The Bengals, a 4-game lead in the loss column over the Steelers. Mm-hmm. And they just beat the Steelers, oh, by the way. And Denver, 3-game lead on the Raiders. They've beaten the Raiders.
Yep.
So those races are all over. So
yep.
New England, Cincinnati and Denver. It's a 3-team race for the byes.
And here's the thing, too. I think it's critical, obviously, to get a bye. We all know this.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's critical to, and again, you're going to say, oh, of course you want to be the 1 seed because of home field advantage all throughout. I think it's more critical because here's why. You don't want to be the team that has to beat 2 of those 3. You want to be the team that has to beat 1 of those 3 in the AFC championship game at home because those 3, in my estimation, are bunched up fairly close.
Why look, there's not a lot that you can say about New England, really. They win 12 games every year.
Yeah.
They've got the greatest quarterback coach combo possibly ever. It's arguable. I know anything's pretty much arguable, but mm-hmm. they're on the short list, Belichick and Brady. Why are they? Because I'll be honest with you. I'll bring up a take that was wrong. I'm not afraid to run from those. I did not have them being this good this year.
Me
Why
either.
Are they? So, like, I thought it was going to be like they were going to be 10 or 11 wins.
Well, spoiler alert, I'm going to have them as the one seed and winning the AFC.
Okay. Why do you think that they have performed so much better than our expectations?
Look, for
is this a case of they just know how to consistently win and avoid the pitfalls that other teams fall into?
There's some of that, but the other thing is too, and again,
really very good yet.
Well, and as revolting as I find it on a personal level, motivation. They think the world is persecuting them for being cheaters. Their motivational level.
Story.
Here's the thing, though. That's a real thing, Kyle, because again, I know you're not like the hugest hockey fan in the world, but you go back to my Red Wings in 98. The year after when we won the Cup in 97, everyone's saying, how are you going to do it again? How are you going to do it again? Well, unfortunately, 6 days after the Stanley Cup is hoisted at Joe Louis Arena, we lose our incomparable defensive legend Vladimir Konstantinov in that horrible limo accident. Also have two other members of the family getting taken out there. And the next year, I mean, and I've heard like a number of people say it, that like you could have had, you know, you could have told them that the Stanley Cup award ceremony was going to be in a parking garage at 3 a.m. and it wouldn't have affected anybody's motivational level. To win it for Vladdy and to win it for those guys, that's positive motivation. For New England, it's spite and it's hate and it's all these things that I just find revolting, but I do not deny it. I do not deny that that's what's working for them.
Again, something else you probably don't like, and mm-hmm. you know, it can be eye rolling at times. You know, we talked about the college level earlier, Nick Saban, mm-hmm. the process. This is just, there's so many bad organizations in this league right now.
Right.
You know, Cleveland obviously comes to mind living here.
Mm-hmm.
New England is just a very, you know, institutionally very sound.
That's right.
They have a process about them. It's very good.
You lose a Pro Bowl tight end to a murder rap, you plug in another Pro Bowl tight end.
Yeah. I mean, I am looking here. They have not played anyone very good yet. They have won 4 games by 8 points or less.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, to the point, this is not in the same class as that 07 team that ran the table all the way to the Super Bowl. Not. But I'm with you. I do think it is likely that they get the top seed. I'm looking at the remaining schedule here.
You figure they can win all the divisional games. I mean, I think they...
Yeah, they still play at the Jets late in the year. It depends. We'll talk about the Jets in a little bit, but...
They shouldn't sweat that based on what we've already seen.
Well,
because
I don't know.
The Jets' quarterback situation is
well,
going to be
yeah,
worse
that,
than
an
it
issue,
was.
And we'll talk about that. I mean, we'll see. The one ace in the hole that Denver has,
mm-hmm.
if we can skip over Cincinnati momentarily.
Yeah.
Denver will host both New England and Cincinnati down the stretch.
Yeah, and I think Denver's going to be the 2 seed. So I think
you
that
would
is...
think that it you would think that it would be extraordinarily unlikely that they would lose both of those games
right.
at home, right?
Right.
So you're right. It would be odd to think that they beat one of the teams but then finish behind them. So
Denver's divisional games are tougher, though. It's much easier to imagine Denver going down to one of those teams than it is New England against any of the pygmies in the East.
I can see it going New England 1, Denver 2, Cincinnati 3 as well.
That's
Cincinnati is a team that is, I still think, due to regress a little bit. Since the start
of last
year...
They're not going to go 16-0, so I agree with that.
No. Well, since the start of last year, they are now 7-0-1. They did tie last year.
Yeah.
In games decided by 7 points or less.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to have some slip-ups, I think.
Well, they still have Arizona on the schedule. They
yes.
have St. Louis. They have another game against Pittsburgh. They have Denver. You know, they have a Baltimore team that might be a little tougher at the end of the season than they are now. So Cincinnati has they may have the toughest schedule of the three. That's one of the reasons I have them in the third spot.
Okay. I think, and it's a late game. They did beat Denver late in the year last year. That was at home, though. And this is also a Monday night game, but it's in Denver.
Revenge game.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see now. Going by the numbers, I think right now Cincinnati's actually a better team than Denver. It's interesting because...
It's close.
It's interesting because New England's clearly got the best offense of the three. Denver's clearly got the best defense.
Yep.
But Cincinnati's balance is kind of hard to ignore.
It is. It is. That's what I've been saying all along.
They're hard to ignore.
Well, not only that, too. Here's the thing, too. Let's get further into balance because, to me, one of the key things is, and I go back to what I was... A game I was fortunate to be at, the game of the century, 06 Ohio State-Michigan. And for any real football nerds out there, that's the year my dad had the seats. He's never had them before or since. I was watching through the all-22 coaches' view. We were in the middle of the end zone. It was beautiful. And people were like, how the hell couldn't the defenses stop them? You know why? Because the run and the pass for both teams kept both defenses on their heels. Cincinnati is that rare team in today's game that can do that. Because
Hugh Jackson's done a great job.
Yeah,
this year.
Their balance, they can bring it in that exact kind of way, like at that Ohio State-Michigan game where it was 42-39. You key on the running, they'll beat you with the pass. You key on the pass, they'll beat you with the running. So when defenses have to play on their heels, see, that's what's going to make that Denver game very interesting because, you know... It's not that Green Bay, you know, again, Green Bay's got a very good running game also, too, all things being equal and when Eddie Lacy isn't dinged up or whatever. But, you know, Denver in that situation, they keyed on taking away the pass, and they did so successfully. Cincinnati is going to come into that game trying to play a lot of balance. And that's going to be one of the more fascinating X's and O's games of the second half here. And that's going to have a lot to say, again, about who gets a bye and who doesn't.
All three teams are going to win at least 12 games. There's no doubt in my mind.
I think so. And this may be, I don't think there's ever been a 13, has there ever been a 13-win team that didn't get a bye? We may be looking at the first time ever.
I wouldn't be surprised if there would have had.
I'm sure, I think there's been 12-win teams that haven't.
Yeah, 12, I know.
Yeah.
13, would that be pretty stout? I mean, if Denver, like I said, it's funny. They'll probably split the two games against New England and Cincinnati.
Yep.
But here's the thing. If they were to beat New England but lose to Cincinnati, I could still see them being the third seed, actually.
That's possible.
In that, because I think, and you probably agree, New England's probably going to be number one. That's a safer bet. And then it's between Denver and Cincinnati.
That's what
for
I'm
the
thinking
two seed.
Right now.
And so that game in week 16 is pretty huge.
It is.
I think so. You know, New England has the number one rated offense in DVOA. Cincinnati's number two, though, right behind them. So that gap isn't as much. Denver's 30th, by the
right.
way. So Denver, it's funny. While we talk about Denver's defense being the strongest unit in the league, their offense is the weakest unit on either side of the ball of these three teams.
That may be a lagging indicator. Now that they've had the bye, now that they have had more time to absorb
Look, they'll
the system.
Improve. They'll right. improve, but I don't think they're going to climb up to 1-2. Like
no,
these other
but
are.
I think they'll get the middle of the pack. So
yeah, they should.
30 is unrepresentative, I think. But,
okay, I mean, they have struggled. The first six,
well,
as Aaron Schatz of Football Outsiders said, the first 6 weeks did happen.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And, you know, as a frustrated Peyton Manning owner, I am aware of that.
Okay.
But I know you wanted to do the big three and then kind of get to some of the dregs
well,
from there.
When you talk about the dregs,
mm-hmm.
that would apply to the entire AFC South.
Yeah.
We have declared the other three division races all but over.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that they are actually in a first-place tie right now with Houston at 3-5. Do you see any way the Colts don't win this division?
No. I this is like calling an election with 1% of the precinct in. I'm giving it to Indianapolis. And that's with, again, and here's the thing, too. When we get to some of the other dregs in the division here, I certainly want to take some time to denounce the awful Tennessee organization for their scapegoating. We are in full
Coach Wiz stinks.
No, Coach Wiz is not that bad, and it's not all his fault. I guess we're going to do this right now, then. You've been saying all along, and you're wrong about this, they underachieved last year, talent level. They suck. The talent on that team sucks. Coach Wiz coached them up as much as he possibly could. Their talent on both sides of the ball, buddy, is pretty bare.
I read a nice tweet this week. This was before he got 86th. Okay. That Coach Wiz, your boy. Okay, what is their record this year? Hold on, I'll do this.
What, they're
1-6,
here. I think.
They're 1-6.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's
so,
it to you?
Okay, I'll tell you what it's it to me. Is 1-20 when he doesn't have 8 months to prepare for a game because he's won the two season openers. So things have not gone well there, okay?
That is pretty
All
funny.
Right. Would it be funny? I don't know if it'd be funny. I mean, I wouldn't laugh. Maybe I would laugh. I don't know. the Colts could win this thing at 6-10, this division. That would set a new low. And by the way, I'm going to look into this in the offseason. I think this, the current, it's not new because it's been around since 02, but the current divisional format just lends itself to some of the worst division winners ever. And we're going to see this a lot more. It's going to be prevalent. I mean, this is going to be what? The third time since 2010 that we have a sub 500 division winner.
I'd like to sign my forthcoming petition at change.org to either bounce a sub 500 division winner out of the playoffs or make them the sixth seed or do something. But something has to be done.
It'll be interesting. I mean, there's maybe something there. I don't know. But here's the thing. I just think here's the thing you have to remember with the Colts.
Yeah.
As bad as they've looked.
And Pep Hamilton just got scapegoated. That was my point on scapegoats.
Okay.
Although Chud's going to do a good job, though.
Yeah, we'll see about that. It's crazy that. And Gus Bradley, by the way, I think is gone at the end of this year, too, in Jacksonville.
Probably. You said before, though, too, quarterbacks not being a disposable commodity, it will be a tragedy if the next regime comes in and pulls their infantile Eric Mangini. I can't win with this with Blake Bortles, because Blake Bortles at least still has some promise.
And again, developing. You can't just give up on this
right
guy.
You
what
can't
are you
give
do?
Up
what
on
you, you know, so, right. I mean, granted, he was
he
bad
Blaine
last year,
Gabbard.
But he has looked a little better this year.
Right.
I mean, granted, some of that is garbage time yardage, but
I interrupted you on the Colts. What were you saying?
They've beaten. Their three wins are all against the three division teams, so they cannot lose a tiebreaker to these teams. That's the thing. They can't be, like, swept. And that's the only way that I would have seen them not winning this division is if, you know, maybe Houston stuck with them at 6-10 and they happen to sweep them, but that's not going to happen.
They're going to be like the Falcons of last year, who only beat the garbage in their own division, but they're going to get the job done by maybe winning one more game outside the division.
I see the Colts at least winning one or two outside the division.
I'll say 1-7-9. They're this is not
spoiler. Spoiler alert. I got to play on their game against the Broncos this week in week 9.
I do too, and it's probably not the same one. But
okay, there's no way it's the same one. Oh boy, Ricky.
Again, here's the thing. The coach sucks.
Well, I mean, I don't think he sucks.
I'm sorry. I meant to say general manager.
The coach
is average. The coach is average. The general manager sucks. Pagano, he's average, I think. Gregson blows. He's absolutely terrible. And again, it's skate
traded
season.
A first round pick for Trent Richardson.
Yeah, and I denounced that from the Browns' point of view at the time, and we do have a mini episode to prove that. So I'm on record. I'm trapped with that take. But again, you can't blame me for being knee jerk against anything Joe Banner was going to decide to do. But again, this division, there's not much to say.
City really kicked the team's ass in that park in that whole Muni lot battle. That was shameful.
Yeah,
I think. So here's the thing, to put a bow on the AFC South.
Yeah,
unless if you
get them out of the way because they suck.
Let's say the Colts win.
Yeah.
That means the other three, I'll get this just in, there aren't two teams, playoff teams, coming out of this division.
Nope.
I think the other three, I can make a case that Houston, Jacksonville, and Tennessee all win five games or less.
Sure. I mean, Houston's already got a few under their belt.
Houston
at least is able to slap the other teams, though.
You know, I think their schedule, though, when you look at remaining schedule strength, is not very good, because I remember I was going through it. Futures, yeah, it's ranked as one of the four hardest in the league moving forward. So I would imagine, you know, they're a team that you thought naturally would regress a little bit, because remember last year they jumped from 2-9 wins. Plexiglass principle, trademark Bill James in baseball, it applies to football as well. The bounce down is a little more severe than I think we both thought. I thought this could be a 7-win team.
Yeah.
But the quarterback play has just been so hideous here.
Your boy Bill O'Brien looks like he's in over his head.
Well, he just doesn't have anything to work with. I mean, if you're gonna throw a life jacket to your boy Coach Wiz, I'll throw one to Bill O'Brien.
Coach Wiz never had J.J. Watt on the defensive side of the ball, I'll tell you that.
Coach
Wiz has nothing on the talent roster. The Texans have DeAndre Hopkins, who Coach Wiz
they
never
have
got
some,
to
one. They're a slightly better team.
Slightly.
They have two more wins. I'm looking at Tennessee. Yeah, Jacksonville's schedule, believe it or not, of the four teams in this division, projects to be the easiest, but, again, they are the most talent bereft. So
well,
they're not going to make a
run
at
them and Tennessee. And again,
I thought Tennessee would be a little better. I think they've played better than their record, actually. To your point with Coach Wiz, I think they've actually played slightly better.
They probably have. The thing with the Jags, too, again, I say this all the time as a frustrated Browns fan, of all the resets, Gus Bradley, again, they're not showing a lot of progress there, but the front office isn't showing a lot of progress in upgrading the friggin' roster that this guy's got to work with. Their skill position talent is certainly better than it was in the last couple of years. Gus Bradley probably will be fired, but that is not something I would co-sign on. I think he deserves another year with a better front office, and he ain't going to get it. Good luck with that, Gus. So, when
what's Tennessee lost? Six in a row here? Oh, boy.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, three of those have been by a field goal or less.
Yeah.
They actually have a Jacksonville. It's funny that three of these teams have very similar point differentials. Colts minus 30, Texans minus 31, Titans minus 34, Jaguars minus 60.
Yeah. Well,
so the Jaguars are still the Jaguars. Now, of course, a lot of that has to do with the beatdown they were handed by New England.
Right. Pretty sure I saw him dump a game to Johnny Clipboard, too. So that says a lot about the talent level of their roster.
You know what, though? That was like all two passes. And they had lost. They were like minus four in turnovers in that game, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. That was another one that
well,
I thought.
Well, you know, that's
okay.
A sign of being bad, is getting thumped by other bad teams. So we got the,
okay,
the,
so
the South out the way. Where do you want to go from there?
Let's start eliminating teams that we don't think are going to make the playoffs in the AFC.
Okay.
Let's
go division
first.
By division. Okay.
Oh, no. I'm going to go
You
first.
Don't want to do it? Oh, okay.
No, I don't want to do that.
You don't want to?
I'm going to be random. I'm going to just throw out a team that I don't think is going to make the playoffs.
Okay.
The Cleveland Browns. You are Cleveland Browns.
Of course not. Yeah.
2-6. Institutional issues as always. And it's as bad as ever. You have a coach who very clearly is scared for his job, probably rightfully so, even though maybe that's unfair. And he doesn't want to turn to Johnny Manziel, who is hideous and as unprepared as he is, probably should be starting because when you get Josh McCown,
right?
I mean, God bless him. He's put up some numbers
There's
that
no
you wouldn't expect.
With him. Yeah.
No, I mean, the ceiling is so low with him.
Right.
And the Browns were a team. Let's pat ourselves on the back. You and I both said would drop from seven wins, remember this was a team that won seven games, to possible first pick overall territory.
And all the amnesiacs in this town figured seven wins was the baseline for further growth.
Oh, we're getting Alex Mack back. It's funny that I've been doing a lot of reading. I've had some debates with a couple friends who are Browns fans. God bless their souls. The offensive line is still pretty good on this team. It's just when you mix an offensive line with as bad a collection of skill position players you'll find in this league, the offensive line is
wasted.
You
know what, though? Barnage has been an above-average tight end.
He has, but he's a poor blocker. I'll say that.
Poor blocker.
But, I mean, so is Jimmy Graham.
Travis Benjamin. I always love to laugh at the Smurfs on this team, but he's proving to be a legitimate option at one of the two spots
again,
there. You pair him with Josh Gordon next year. Woo, boy.
Oh, yeah, but here's the thing with Browns fans. They have a tendency to elevate competent players to good and good to great. Like, I mean, they're okay players.
Travis Benjamin has been way above average. You'd have to agree with that.
I would go way above average. I mean, when I questioned you on the Browns skill position talent, you raised me Travis Benjamin and Gary Bartage.
Dude, through half a season, 38 catches, 601 yards, 4 touchdowns. That equates to 1202 for yardage for the year. He's not been well above average, 1202. How many guys in the league go above 1202 for a year, Kyle? Come on.
If you are a general manager of an
You're
NFL...
You're not being objective
if,
now.
If you are the general manager of an NFL team...
Yeah.
...and Travis Benjamin was your top receiver, how are you feeling right now?
See, I defer to the stat sheet and what I've seen with my own two eyes, and by both indications, he's been very good. And again, I've been dismissive of him, but I apparently was wrong to be as dismissive of him as I was.
He's not just a slot guy. I'm not saying
he's been
he's
well above
a
average.
Good season. Are you counting on that production next year?
I'd be very comfortable starting him opposite Josh Gordon. You betcha.
So you're freely admitting that he is much. It's a much better thing when he's number two receiver than number one.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. That was my only point.
In general, I don't like small guys as a number one. That's a big leap of faith for me.
You and I debated whether this was a 3 or 4 win team before the start of the year. One of us is going to be right, you still think? I
said 4. Did you say 3?
Yeah, I said 3.
Okay.
I said 3. And
I think I'm going to be right. They'll fluke out 2.
I think
maybe 3, but probably 2.
I am looking at the schedule, It is not easy, necessarily.
I'm just going to give them San Francisco right now.
That is the only, that is the one game they will be favored in. But yeah, just because they're – and, again, it's a West Coast team coming east late in the year. The 49ers at this point will probably be waving the – at that in week 14 will probably be waving the white flag, prepping their draft plans. I'm not sure if there's another game on this schedule that they win, though.
Maybe Kansas City. Maybe.
In Arrowhead. I think the Chiefs, you should not write them off yet. We'll talk about them in a little bit.
Okay.
I don't think we should write the Chiefs
off yet. You're a bitter clinger on the Chiefs then.
Well, you know, there's other teams I'll be punting on. Okay. But, I mean, you know, at Cincy, at Pittsburgh,
yeah,
at Seattle.
Here's the thing, though.
Yeah, look, I know that the worst thing you can do is, like, go game by game and not knowing.
Yeah. Cause
and assigning
season,
wins and
like,
losses.
Nate Noy and I would always have a competition. On picking for the year. He would do it by game. I would do it by glancing at the schedule. I beat him every friggin' year because you can't go game by game.
No, you can't. I'm just pointing it out, though, but, like,
There will be a game they win they're not supposed to win. That's going to get them to four. They're going to
beat
San Francisco.
At Cincy, at Pittsburgh, at Seattle, at Kansas City. Are you comfortable saying that they will win one of those games?
At Kansas City, maybe. I don't have as much regard for them as you do.
I'd be surprised.
Could be Baltimore.
Like I said,
could
they're a 3 or 4 win team. Guess what? 4 wins ain't going to get you in the
Baltimore
playoffs.
Baltimore at home on a Monday night?
Oh, that's going to be dog pound central. Everyone's going to think they're so tough because they beat them. They'll get their ass kicked in that game.
You're also inflating the Ravens a lot more than I am.
More on them momentarily.
Okay.
Bottom line is.
We're also 2-6, I might add.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Bottom line is 3 or 4 wins will not get you in the playoffs.
No.
See you at the top of the draft, Cleveland, right?
Jared Goff next year. Yeah.
Oh, here you go again. The next savior.
I don't have a fancy rhyme for that, but tanking for Jared Goff. You betcha.
How's fail for Cardale going?
Not very well.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Who else do we not like? Well, let's go to these two. You talk about the 2-6 Ravens. I'm going to put another team with them. So if you have 6 losses right now,
yep,
you're in trouble. Because that basically means you can only really lose one more time to have
a
realistic shot.
Yeah.
So two teams, one that I liked before the start of the year, one that you really liked. I'm going to lump together. The 2-6 Ravens and the 2-6 Chargers. Two teams that just played last week. But they pushed, by the way, after our very fine argument that we had about
that game.
The
other thing, too, I'll tell you what. It's very clear who the fair-haired boys of the league are. That abortion of a call at the end.
Oh.
Let them settle it on the field. Don't let the refs get in there throwing their hanky.
I did see a few recappers.
I was swearing at the TV. I'm sure you could picture that.
Were you only swearing at the TV only because of me and our tit-for-tat we had on the program last week?
Basically,
Okay, yes, I thought so.
Because it put the last nail in the coffin of the Chargers.
It was a little Academy Award winning.
Yes.
So both teams are done, Baltimore and San Diego.
Yep.
I don't think. Now, I think it's also clear both teams are better than their records.
Sure.
Baltimore, every game decided by 8 points or less, that's incredible. So they should be closer.
The Chargers are so much better than their record, it's demagoguery to call them 2-6.
Look, in both cases, you can point to things why the record isn't what it should be.
Mm-hmm.
With San Diego, it's
a lot of
injuries. I mean, the offensive line is in shambles. I mean, I told
now
you a couple.
Keenan Allen's down.
Yeah,
for the year.
I mean, I told you a couple weeks ago. It's like painful to watch Philip Rivers, who I really enjoy watching. I mean, he's like having to throw the ball for his life. The secondary has regressed poorly. The defense, really in general, is just awful.
Melvin Gordon has been awful so far.
Yeah, it's funny because with the running back position,
right?
We talk about how quarterback play is on the decline. Look at the best players in college this year. A lot of them are running backs.
Right,
we could be seeing a real renaissance in that position.
I've been saying that.
But
he ain't gonna be part of it.
Look at the two guys that went the first round this year. One, Todd Gurley, looks like a very good pick where the Rams stood back and took him.
Right.
The San Diego pick trading up for Melvin Gordon.
3.7 yards per carry. Yeah,
that's
awful.
Yeah,
no touchdowns.
I think both of these teams will do better than 2-6 in the second half.
Sure.
I actually think Baltimore, and I know you're going to scoff at this, I think they can still challenge to keep the streak intact of no losing seasons under John Harbaugh.
I'd be very surprised.
I think they can get to 8-8 only because, as I bring up the schedule, they have a lot of home games. The next two, in fact.
Yeah, but two of them are St. Louis and Seattle.
I think they could beat St. Louis at home. And they certainly could be Jacksonville home off a bye.
Well,
Kansas City, who you just ripped. Road game against Cleveland. This is a fairly light. So when I look at this schedule as a whole, not game by game,
okay,
I see a winning record for Baltimore down the stretch. I see them at 7-9 or 8-8 finishing the year. And also, they're due for some improvement.
5-11.
I see them. Wow, that's low. I see improvement.
6, Kyle. 5-11 is kind of generous. They're on pace for 4-12.
Well, and what? So just because they went 2-6 in the first half?
Yeah.
Look, there's. I told you.
Yeah,
they've
what
had,
your record says you are, Kyle.
That is one of the biggest manure takes I've ever heard in my life, and you know how I feel about them. I mean, the first half schedule was not kind. They had to go west 4 times.
Who friggin' who? You think it was kind to San Diego?
Well, let's take a look at San Diego.
San Diego had to go to Minnesota, which is one of the fine up-and-coming clubs in this league.
Okay, Rick Morris. All right, here's the thing. If you think I'm just going to rip the Chargers
till
the cows come home,
they had to play
the
new and improved Cincinnati Bengals.
I'm not going to rip San Diego.
Okay.
I think they'll have a better record in the second half.
Okay.
But for them, I see them kind of like 6-10.
They had to play Green Bay. They had to play Oakland.
Oh, all of a sudden, Oakland now. We're going to start counting them
At
home. And they were down 30-3. There's a hell of a performance. Name
Oakland
a time the Ravens have been down 30-3 this year.
Oakland is much improved. I said coming into the year I thought they'd be somewhat improved.
I
think I'm a little closer to where they're at than you are. We were both wrong, but I think I'm a little closer
than
you are.
By a game, you said, I think, 6.
Yeah.
I said 5.
Well, there you go.
Let me tell you something. The Ravens played the Raiders. They didn't lose to them 30. They weren't down 30-3.
Well, that's a one-game sample size.
Oh, yes. Here we go. Okay, well, San Diego off a bye. They get Kansas City, Jacksonville. They also, and they're hosting Chicago on Monday night. I think in the short term, both of these teams are going to start inching closer, but it's too little too late. They've dug themselves too big of a hole. That's my point.
Yeah.
All right.
I didn't foresee all the injuries of the Chargers, in fairness to me.
No, you can't project it. Although they typically have been one of the more injured teams in recent years.
They have
some teams are just a little more injured than others, they say. Who else do we not like to make the playoffs in the AFC? How about your boy, Dan Campbell?
They're not going to make it. It's too late for
them. Teams that change coaches, there is always that short-term bump. But Bill Barnwell did a nice, my God, as you called him once, did a nice study on the success rate of interim coaches. It ain't good. I'll give you a clue.
Well,
I'll save you some reading. It's not good. Jeff Fisher was actually an interim.
Okay.
Joe Lindway's boy. And he obviously went on
top 3 coach in the league.
That's a bit much, and he certainly went on to have some success in this league, Jeff Fisher. Some, I would like to point out, but other than that, interim coaches typically don't work out.
Well,
Miami is a team. Now we were both high on Miami. Those don't start throwing dirt, shoveling dirt on me because you were in on that too, and had this team in the playoffs
too. Yeah.
Okay, they are.
We both forgot about Joe Philbin being the coach.
Yeah, and you know what? You know what I need to do more.
What?
Before we do the preseason show.
What?
Go back and listen to our exit shows we do at the end of the season.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you why. Mm-hmm. There's an instance every year where Ricky, I don't know why. I'm just kind of changing my opinion here. And it always bites me in the ass. And last year was with Chicago.
Yeah.
This year it was Miami.
Stick to your guns.
Because
you said in February, stick to your guns.
Because I didn't like how when Philbin got his job was saved at the end of last year, they promptly went out and got hammered in the last game of the season. That wasn't a good sign, I didn't think. And when I picked this team to make the playoffs, I certainly had them better than 3-4 at this point. And because the schedule, while there's a good deal of home games late, everyone pointed to the fact that the second half schedule for this team was going to be harder than the first, and I would concur with that. So the fact they're only 3-4, have changed coaches, I don't think that much changed with Campbell. They drew 2 very bad teams in his first 2 games. You saw what happened against New England. That was a nice winner for me, by the way, on the show.
Okay.
Miami's not going to do it. They have, by the way, a pretty tough division, too.
Well, they just lost Cameron Wake for the year. That's not going to make it easier.
Good point, too. A team that I think we are both going to be right on. We've talked about a few that we were wrong on.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to one we were right on. The Bills. You and I think both had them in the 7 or 8 win range coming to the year.
Yep.
And that's kind of where I still have them now. Rex Ryan, the bloom is rapidly falling off that rose.
Right.
Especially if the Jets make the playoffs.
Right.
It looks even worse. That Sammy Watkins trade, well, you can't pin it on Rex necessarily. It's front office. Not looking very good in retrospect.
No, it's not. It's not. And
trading up a pick where you could have just stayed pat to get Odell Beckham Jr.
Well, and here's the
and
thing.
And again, hindsight's 20/20, but it ain't looking good.
Rex, the last year or two in New York, did the same thing Joe Philbin did last year. Limp into the next season. Dennis Allen, I think, did that in one of his last years before he got whacked in Oakland. Here's the weird thing about football. Football's different than other sports. Terry Collins limped into the next season a few times with the Mets and eventually got a pennant. In baseball, that can happen. In other sports, I think that could happen. Kyle, it never happens in the NFL. And the thing of it is, for as much as I decry arbitrary and capricious resets, if you're sitting there at the end of the year and you think you're going to fire a coach eventually, just do it. Just get it over with. Because the cake's already been baked.
You're saying Buffalo should fire Rex Ryan?
No. Oh. But what I'm saying is, it's the same thing the Jets or the Dolphins were dealing with Philbin at the end of the last year, and it also foreshadowed Ryan's eventual doom with the Jets. Ryan will get to that point with the Bills unless the front office can upgrade a quarterback and do some other things they need to do.
To be fair, this team was looking pretty good
right
before they got stuck with E.J. Manuel. I mean, we said before the year with the Bills and Jets, I thought they were very similar-looking teams.
Yes.
The issue being the quarterback position. Both of them kind of got it right, got better than expected quarterback play. Buffalo just made, I thought, the smart decision by going with Tyrod Taylor because the other two choices were guys that you knew weren't very good.
Yep.
Low-ceiling guys, E.J. Manuel, and now Matt Castle's not even with them. The Jets kind of lucked into it with Geno Smith getting his jaw broken and Ryan Fitzpatrick playing better than expected. Mm-hmm. Although Ryan Fitzpatrick...
Then he got hurt again.
Yep, he did, and we'll talk about the Jets momentarily. But Fitzpatrick was pretty good with Houston last year, too, so maybe this shouldn't be a surprise. But Bills' schedule, they do host Miami in Week 9 off a bye.
Mm-hmm.
After that, it's three straight road games, which may just sink their season. I see this team kind of following their pattern that we saw in the first half, a win one, lose one outfit. So they're 7-9, 8-8. That won't cut it.
Yep.
So
there are not many teams left.
There's only
yet.
Four teams left that we have not talked about for two wild card spots. I'm going to be a clinger with Kansas City. Now, I don't think they're going to do it.
No,
they dug themselves
too
big. I said 10-6.
This just in.
I said
not.
10-6 before the year. They would have to go 7-1 from here on out to match that record. That's not going to happen.
The one thing I'll say in your defense, again, Jamal Charles, who knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, but no, they've actually replaced him well and played a little bit better.
Yeah.
They're a team that the defense ran, which was the strength of this team, kind of ran into a tough slate.
Right.
Cincinnati, Green Bay. You know, they really gave the Denver game away. That was a game they should have won.
Yeah.
They gave the Chicago game away.
Alex Smith has looked like poop emoji.
Oh, he has been. Look.
Yeah.
I've evoked the name of Chase Daniel multiple times on the
program. You have.
And yeah. I still think that if they kind of do fall out of it, see what you have with him. Because Alex Smith is a low-ceiling option at this point. We will find out about Kansas City's season the 2 weeks after the bye. Their next two games, at Denver, at San Diego. Two division road games. If they were to drop them both, they're obviously done.
I think
they
do.
If they were to win one of the two, okay, they're kind of hanging on. I will point to the fact that they closed the year with Cleveland at home and Oakland at home. Now, Oakland at home is now a lot harder sounding than it did at the beginning of the year. You can win those two games. Let's say, let's work with me here.
Possible.
Work with me here.
Yeah.
Let's give them wins in those two games.
Okay.
They're 5-5. Can they go 4-2 in the other six and maybe squeak in and get the sixth seed? Possibly. Possibly.
Look,
I'm not ready to write them off.
If
yet,
for
is
no
all I'm
other
saying.
Reason than their
the degree
defense.
Of difficulty is high, I'm not going to write them off, though.
Sure. If for no other reason than their defense and some of the very explosive players they have, I never bought them as the absolute drizzling shiznits of the league with the start they got off to. I mean, I wasn't lumping them
They don't
them in.
Play a lot of great offenses from here on out.
Right. So the defense, by and large, will keep them in a lot of these games. But, yeah, I'm not buying it. They're like a 6 or 7 win team to
me. Ooh, I'm going to say 8 or 9
so
for them.
7. I'll say 7.
I'm going to say 8 or 9.
Okay.
They looked pretty good. I mean, granted, Detroit has several issues. But they certainly played their best game of the year. We'll see
well,
if they can
sustain
it. Well,
the other thing, too, is that I think you and I have said this about both London and Thursday night games.
Anything goes. Just,
yeah,
you never know.
Exactly.
You never know. By the way, spoiler alert.
Uh-huh.
I got a pick on the Thursday night game this week.
Do you?
Yes.
At
Browns-Bengals.
I contemplated making one.
Oh, okay.
I thought about it.
Okay, so let's try to narrow this down, these wild card teams.
Okay.
Wrap up the AFC.
You and I agree that it's down to the, well, you're for whatever reason putting Kansas City in there, but
I'm not ready to write them off. The degree of difficulty is hard. I'm not writing them off.
Well, to me, it's just the three teams that we haven't talked about yet.
Oakland, Pittsburgh, and the Jets.
By the way, fascinating about this. Oakland played what might be a qualifying game last week against the Jets, have won this week against Pittsburgh.
If they were to win this week, they are sitting very good.
Yep.
Spoiler alert, I have a pick on that game in week 9.
Okay.
Listen to that mini-episode, folks.
The funny thing is, we're posting these out of sequence, so if people are listening in sequence, they've already heard your pick, even though you haven't made it yet in real time.
I'll go back and listen to it
this
again.
This is like The Matrix.
Go back and listen to it again. It's always funner. It's always more fun to listen to the FDH the second time
yes,
around.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Oakland. It's funny. You and I, Oakland and the Jets, to me, they just played. Oakland dominated.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of similar teams to me in that they're the two teams in the AFC who are clearly better than expectations.
Sure.
And you and I both had them as improved this year, but only slightly.
Right.
I picked the Jets for 7 wins. I picked the Raiders for 5.
Okay.
Now it's looking more like they'll kind of be like 9. You know, the Raiders, I'm not ready to go all in just yet on the Raiders.
I'm putting them in the playoffs. They are making it, in my estimation. I'm going to put them in there. You know,
their old bugaboo, here's what they have to get over.
Mm-hmm.
The road game situation. And they get lucky, a little lucky. Now, they do have to go to Pittsburgh this week for what's a big game.
Okay.
But week 11, week 12, they have back-to-back road games in the East. But they are Detroit and Tennessee.
Yeah.
Those are
very winnable.
Now, it'll be interesting. This team was favored in Chicago and lost,
right. Remember.
And again,
they're not there yet on Reggie McKenzie's rebuilding. They're not there yet.
It's funny.
They're in a lot of depth.
Before they went out and beat San Diego and the Jets
mm-hmm.
the last 2 weeks, the wisdom was this team's one draft away.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden now there's kind of a, you know, this year is next year mentality with the Raiders. I think you need to be careful. I'll talk more about the Raiders with the Week 9 picks. Oh. You can get my thing there. Right now, as we speak, on November 4th, 2015, they're a stock. Their price is pretty high right now. Their price is pretty high.
We said at the beginning of the year there would be somebody probably fairly suspect getting into the playoffs. I think that was why we gave it to Miami in the first place, process of elimination. It wasn't that we could vouch for them so much, but it was process of elimination. I have never, ever bought into, oh, my God, whoever makes the playoffs in the AFC is football royalty.
No. Especially because
to be the sixth seed in the AFC, this is one of these things where, you know, you're saying their stock is still high, and it may be coming off the Jets game. I think to a certain extent it's the opposite. I think they've been bad for so long, the human mind hasn't yet caught up to reality. It's almost demagoguery to call them the Oakland Raiders because they are not the Raiders of the last 15 years or so.
They've only played one bad game this year. I'll give you that. And it was the opener against Cincinnati where Carr got hurt, I believe, early, and the wheels came off in the second half. Other than that, every game, the final scores wound up being close. I'll say this. They beat both San Diego and the Jets by beat them up a little bit better than the final scores indicate there.
Right.
So, look, they're in contention. I just don't know if I feel comfortable projecting them as a playoff team.
All right. Well, then does that mean the team that they beat last week, the Jets, are you giving it to them?
No, I don't know. See, here's the thing. I'm going to have to make picks here. Huh? Like, I don't feel like – here's the thing with these wild cards.
I got mine all written down.
You always have them down. Another way, I just don't think the – can you agree with this?
Yeah.
Whoever the wild cards are in the AFC, I ain't winning the AFC.
No.
Okay.
No, they're – whoever's the 5 seed's going to win because they got Indianapolis.
I'm not going to go that. I won't say that. In Indianapolis, I can smell the Colts stink. What have both sub 500 division winners done in the playoffs?
They won their home game, but which by the way is testament to why they shouldn't have a home game in the first place under these rules. But having said that, the team that's going to play them there is a team that historically has had their number. We'll get to that momentarily.
Oh.
But the Jets, You know,
the quarterback situation is.
That's why
huge.
I'm throwing them out.
If
making it, buddy.
If Geno's, if they're stuck with multiple weeks of Geno Smith, they could be in trouble. Now they do host Jacksonville this week.
Well, they may be going to what's his nuts, the Baylor guy,
Bryce Petty.
Bryce Petty, yeah.
Oh boy. Well, we shall see. The schedule upcoming, though, is somewhat kind.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just group it into four, not assigning wins and losses week by week.
You're not
going to
go Nate Noy on me,
no.
Okay.
Their next four games are Jacksonville home, Buffalo home on a Thursday, at Houston, Miami home.
That's pretty soft.
Even if they are stuck with Geno Smith, Bryce Petty,
yeah,
they could probably split those games.
Split sounds reasonable.
They still have a home game against Tennessee.
Yep.
I think that both wild cards might only be 9 wins. I can just see this team.
Right.
To me, their path to 9 looks easier than Oakland, I think.
Oakland
Although,
has David Carr. Jets have sub-replacement-level guys at quarterback.
That's true.
Big difference.
It's true.
It's a quarterback-driven league. We've been saying this all
the
whole show.
You know what the Jets have, though, still, though?
What?
Hell of a defense.
Yeah.
A defense that did not look good against Oakland, but it's still a very good defense.
And Brandon Marshall, who this guy had on a buy low in fantasy this year. So
do we both like the Pittsburgh Steelers to make the playoffs?
They make it. I got them as the 5 seed. They will go in. They will punk Indianapolis in the first round.
Wow, you're really going ahead of me here.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh, again, like some of these other teams, a somewhat fortuitous schedule moving forward. Their next two games are at home, Oakland and Cleveland.
Yep.
Ben Roethlisberger's back. Maybe it took him 1 week to get adjusted. They get Indy at home. They do some 3 division road games in the last 4 weeks. That's not fun.
Yep.
With Denver sandwiched in between. They also have to go at Seattle. So I'm going to tell you, man, you want to write off Kansas City?
I'm writing them off. I'll call my shot. I'm writing off a 3-5 team. Go sue me.
Hold on here. All right, you're going to make me pick, and I should have been ready for this. I've had a rough week, man. You know what's so sad, by the way?
What?
So I was, before I came here,
mm-hmm,
to Casa de Ricky,
yeah,
I stopped at the store, grabbed myself a Code Red and a bag of combos. Breakfast
okay.
of Champions right there. And I was staring, I was waiting in line as the guy was moving at a glacial pace behind the register. And I saw they have all the candy out, and I saw the Snickers bars right
mm-hmm
in front of me, okay? And, you know, they've got, like, these random words now on the Snickers bars.
Mm-hmm.
And I just saw the stack of them. They all said, cranky, agitated, frustrated. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to buy one of these on sheer principle. It really turned my day around, I'll be honest. Let me look at Kansas City, though, all right, because you're going to make me pick.
Yeah. Seems a reasonable thing to do on our second half preview. Because I'm saying Pittsburgh 5, Oakland 6 as the wild cards. I'm calling it right now. Pittsburgh to beat Indy, Oakland to lose to Cincinnati and give Cincinnati that elusive playoff victory to get them over the hump. That's what I'm saying.
Here's what's interesting. Because I've got to – I'm in danger because I know who I'm picking in the NFC
mm-hmm
to make the playoffs. I do know there.
Okay.
I'm in danger of picking 9 return entrants, which has never happened. So I may have to take Pittsburgh out.
First time for everything now. Are you going to make your pick on that kind of a basis of
It's very dangerous, isn't it?
I'm going with what's right in front of my eyes. Pittsburgh 5, Oakland 6.
Hold on. There's no reason to get upset. I don't know. God bless it. Who do I want to say? Right now, because Oakland beat the Jets and the Jets are struggling with the quarterback situation.
Go ahead. Rule them out. You can do that much.
Hold on here. I'm not ready to rule out Kansas City.
Are you going to rule out the Jets, though? I mean, that makes sense.
I think one of these teams might get in at 8-8. All right, I'm going to project Kansas City 8-8. We're going to do this on air. I'm going to project Kansas City to finish 8-8.
Okay.
Pittsburgh. Well, I'll do the Jets first. I'm going in alphabetical order. The Jets.
I'm not even bothering with records. I'm just eyeballing it.
Well, I know. That's how you Republicans do it. Jets, I'll project 9-7.
Okay.
Oakland. Currently a 4-3 football team.
They got to be at least 9-7. Actually, no, they won't be better than 9. Let me take that back. I don't mean to imply they'll be 10-6. They're not going to be 10-6.
8-8.
Whoa, hater. God, you got them going 4-5 the rest of the way?
Because that's so ridiculous.
Wow. Who's making your picks on the Raiders? Lane Kiffin? Come on now.
Smoke weed, talk like Lane Kiffin. And Pittsburgh? Let's see. They're 4-4. I got them 6-4.
Either 8 or 9, whatever it takes to get them the 5 seed. Probably 9.
9-7. I'm gonna go Pittsburgh and Kansas City. I'm going to say neither Oakland or the Jets make it. I'm going to say Pittsburgh and Kansas City get in.
Okay. Who's the 5? Who's the 6?
Do they play each other?
They do not.
Oh, they did. They already played each other.
Oh, they did, yeah.
And Kansas City won.
Okay.
All the Kansas City Chiefs circle the wagons.
Oh, my God. The 5 seed. Okay.
And guess what? They lose to Indianapolis.
They would lose to Indianapolis. Pittsburgh would not. But that's all right. So.
And you know what? But you know what? Pittsburgh would be dangerous against that. Whoever doesn't get that bye. Ooh, that would not be a team you want to draw. Even though they know Le'Veon Bell. By the way, that's something else when you talk about. Pittsburgh doesn't have Le'Veon Bell.
I saw that Pittsburgh was outraged that the hit on Le'Veon Bell. And you know what I was thinking?
Yeah, Kimo von Olhoven. Kimo von Olhoven
could not be reached for comment.
All right, here's the thing. I don't care. No, I know normally we do this thing. I've gone in so many circles. New England is going to win the AFC, bottom line.
I believe so.
I've changed it. New England, and they will beat, likely, whoever gets the bye between Denver and Cincy.
They're going to – I got them beating Pittsburgh in round 2 of the playoffs. They always pwn the Steelers in January anyways. Denver over Cincinnati in the semifinals. New England over Denver. Sounds like we concur on that. So
I could see Cincinnati maybe slipping in. It depends how that
Cincinnati
goes.
Cincinnati could.
It'll be New England over either Denver or Cincinnati in the AFC. How's that for a non-committal pick?
Well, there you go. And that's but again, do you agree with me on this, and also FDH Director of Research Nate Noy, that beyond having home field, not having to play two of those three is going to be huge?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so we're in concurrence on that. Both of us have New England now coming out of the AFC.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.